Welcome to Around Your Community on WRGG 93.7 FM. I'm Lois Steichen, your host for this weekly program where I talk with representatives from nonprofits in our area so you, our listeners, can learn more about these wonderful organizations and the people who make them possible.
Good evening. I have a new guest in the studio with me tonight. Jeffrey Garner is here. He is the president of Providence Christian Academy, which is located in Chambersburg. Welcome, Mr. Garner.
Well, thank you for having me, Lois. I appreciate the opportunity.
I noticed that your title is president, and with administrative titles for schools, there's usually a superintendent, principal, even a headmaster. How is it that you are called president?
Well, I'm president of the board of directors. I also have several hats in the school, so there is a title superintendent that I fill during the week. The president title I fill once a month and the other responsibilities that come with it administratively. You'll find that in a small nonprofit, and that's what we are.
Having many titles, many responsibilities, yes. Let's start with telling the people listening, what is Providence Christian Academy?
Providence Christian Academy is a private Christian school. It was founded and incorporated in 2014 on the former campus of Scotland School for Veterans Children. It had closed in 2009, and Weinbrenner Theological Seminary purchased the campus. We were one of the first institutions to latch on and lease. Early on, we had an office and we did a feasibility study. Out of that came a 501c3 private school that's dedicated to vulnerable students. We've achieved tax exemption. We have state tax exemption, real estate exemption. Really, the campus is an historical, interesting place for us because in 1895, the Orphan Soldiers Industrial School was founded there on that campus. It was a consolidation point for several of the Civil War veteran orphan schools. It's a beautiful campus. Started with the main building in 1895 and a bunch of mud, and then they've built on since then. That school became the Scotland School for Veterans Children as it morphed in its role. We have a wonderful relationship with the Alumni Museum that's on there. If anyone can get a chance to see that, it is just very interesting history. And they've been very good to our students while we were on campus. We stayed on campus until 2022, and we moved to our new location at 474 Grand Street in Chambersburg. We love the campus. You may know it was up for auction and has yet to sell, but I don't have a legal tie to the campus, just my heart is tied there. So I do get back and meet the alumni and Danny, who takes care of the ground. So our kids love that campus. We did too. It was just deferred maintenance that got to it. You know, the romance of old buildings where you have buckets. It just became a little bit too much to dodge.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we moved and the Lord provided a wonderful place for us, accessible down on Grand Street and Fifth Avenue.
So you're kind of downtown Chambersburg, right?
We are at a very busy corner there. It's a nice building. We have renovated it. The last few years have been renovation for us. We purchased it in 2021. We had a capital campaign that's doing quite well. And we have renovated one third of it right now. We're working on the other part. But a good bit of it was already being used by tenants. So it's very usable. It's a nice location for us.
So everything about you is there, your offices, your administration, the students, everything is located on Grant Avenue.
Absolutely.
Location. Okay. What is your mission?
We, in dependence upon Almighty God and for His glory, together with family and church, we partner with family and church. Our mission is to provide exemplary education for the vulnerable and light of God's word for time and eternity. We want to meet the challenges of our generation for our kids. We want to prepare them for the educational and the technological issues they may face. But we also have a timeless biblical mission. So we're teaching the Word of God. When we say vulnerable, we're talking about children that are educationally marginalized. They may come to us and be behind in reading. They may have strengths in one subject, weaknesses in another. or they may be part of a family that's going through a disruptive situation. Maybe it's divorce or homelessness. We like to support families through that. They're pre-adopt, maybe they're post-adoption. There are many unique challenges to that. I used to be a supervisor of the children's home on Franklin Street. That was an orphanage that was founded in Chambersburg by the same man who helped found the Chambersburg Hospital. I was a supervisor there and also helped found a school that's still in operation there. These are children who their families may be going through a rough patch, and their kids are going to get behind because often when that happens, schooling is disrupted. We found when our kids were coming into the children's home that they were delayed in getting into the public school, and so they're getting farther and farther behind. This is a group of young people that have strengths, but when you're facing that situation, you need a triage. You need an educational triage, which is what we are, which is why we don't grow rapidly on purpose. Because when you're taking in a whole lot of individual cases, you may lose them all. When you think about juggling, you don't just drop one of the balls, you drop them all. That's really what we're facing with our students.
What grade levels do you cover?
Kindergarten through 12th grade. Okay. So we run the gamut. We graduated two students last year, and they're doing quite well. They went into the workforce. They came to us with paperwork that painted a dim view of their ability to learn. Wonderful young men who just needed the opportunity, and they did quite well for us.
How many students do you have in total?
We have 18 right now. We have two more in the loop that are most likely coming. This is the way we operate. It's similar to the children's home, which was a 20-bed situation. Because we're providing such care, we have to be slow in adding students because there's so much tuition assistance and aid, and we really need to get to know our families.
Do the students board with you, or are they living at home and then coming just for the school day?
We have had mentor families that will board for a few nights. That situation would have been easier on Scotland campus, but we do have that component that we're working on.
Where do you find your students? How do you find them?
Word of mouth. Some of our families, they'll come in batches, five at a time. We also get referrals from the county. We may get referrals from other Christian schools. So Shalom or CVCS may have a child that they can't meet the needs for educationally, and they'll call us or refer them to us. So we're working quite well with the local Christian schools. We're happy about that. It's a good relationship. It's not a competitive relationship. It's synergistic. We're working together on this.
What is your education background?
I have a varied education background. I went into the military when I was a young man. I became a nuclear reactor operator. So I essentially have a science background, a math background. After being on the Daniel Webster for my term, I became a shutdown reactor operator. I helped refuel the sub. When it got to the point where it became more of a desk job, I wanted to get out. So I came back to Pennsylvania. Beautiful country. Wouldn't want to live anywhere else. As a matter of fact, when we were stationed in Scotland, it looks a whole lot like Path Valley. Beautiful mountainous region, the Holy Loch.
Do you live in Path Valley?
I have lived in Path Valley. That was my home for most of my childhood.
Oh.
So beautiful between the two mountains there. But I came out, I got a degree in biblical studies, finished seminary, got a master's in theology. So I have the Bible background as well. Also have an MBA. I have a business background. I used to be a realtor, so I've lived several lives, I think. This is the most gratifying, what I'm doing right now, because I'm able to put together all of that learning into helping young people and training staff and operating administratively to provide a smooth education for the school.
And you know where to look for the problems with a building.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I have many connections in the business world. Many of those are Christian business people who give to the school. As I said, Shalom will donate desks and those sort of things wherever they can help. I used to teach at Shalom. I taught there and coached soccer for about a decade and a half.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Jeffrey Garner from Providence Christian Academy. How many teachers do you have?
We have eight. We have some that are part-time. Dr. Shannon generally will be part-time history. He'll take us to the Conococheague Institute. He'll take us to Fort Loudoun. He'll come in his period garb. We always have to keep the boys away from the swords and the knives. This is what we call Providence 360, learning beyond the building. Many of the children will come to us with varying experiences in the classroom, most of them poor. And so we get them into the community, the best way to learn. We wanted to develop a school that we would have loved to go to when we were young. We don't do one field trip a year. Because we're small, we're able to go to 20 to 30 field trips. Mrs. Clark, Barbara Clark, is teaching local history. So we'll go to Conococheague Institute, Renfrew. We have been all over Franklin County. And that is exciting for young people. And really a good way to build trust with young people.
I would imagine if they've come from difficult backgrounds, this is not something that they were able to participate in before they would have come to you.
Absolutely. And this is the benefit of Providence 360. That program is curricular, so it's on their transcript. They also can do internships. We've had a student do an internship at a place where she was taking care of horses. We have a few other students who've done internships at local businesses. We're building those relationships as we go along.
Do you have any young children at this point, like kindergartners?
We have kindergartner students. We keep the kindergartners 3 days a week all day. So it would be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then Monday and Friday, they're at home.
You have 18 students, you have 8 teachers, you have a variety of ages. It's very similar to the one-room schoolhouse that was so prominent in the early days of this country.
Absolutely, and that's intentional. And Mrs. Pacman, who taught for 40 years at Shalom, was in South Africa teaching a varied grade classroom, a one-room schoolhouse. There are great benefits to that. We started that at Scotland. If you walk through the building, classrooms are adjoined. In other words, there's a door in the middle of two classrooms. So the teacher would instruct on one half, and another teacher would quiz in the other room. And it's a great benefit because some kids who've gone through the curricular on that particular grade can help struggling students in another grade when the teacher is busy instructing a particular grade. So it is a one-room schoolhouse. By the way, there are one-room schoolhouses all over the West in rural areas that are still in operation, and necessarily so.
Mm-hmm. Are you an accredited school?
We are accredited through the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability. That is the administrative financial end of the school. That is a unique accreditation. I think there are very few schools in Pennsylvania that are accredited through ECFA. It screens your financial controls and how you handle your money, how you handle donations, and requires a particular audit for your finances and stewardship. And we also are a member of ACSI, which is the Association of Christian Schools International. And so we've gone through the STAR pre-accreditation program in less than half the time that they've allotted and are now working on full accreditation through their new protocols for 2023. We're in a new building now, so some of the things we have to redo in terms of that when you relocate a school. But it's all very valuable for a school because it's checking your training for your teachers, for instance. When we started the school, I think most of our teachers had already taught for over 30 years. So if you think of even Dr. Shannon, how many years did he teach? At least 40. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact. Mrs. Pacman, 40. Mrs. Clark, over 30 years at this point. I'm at that same level. The beauty of having a program like that is it reduces the burnout factor. I believe the kids get us at our best because if we're there hour after hour, all year long, there's a drag down factor. But if you can come in your garb and you can arrange a field trip and you can be with the kids for a day here and there, there's a great excitement. We have another teacher who is a professional that is operating the STEAM program, what's called the STEAM program. It's railroading, it's engineering, it's math, it's art. That's a collaborative program with the art teacher, and he works with Morse code with the young people, works with ratios and math, using railroading and model airplane. The kids are really enthusiastic about that program. And you're sneaking in the education there on the side without them realizing it. That's a great thing for a teacher.
Computers and labs for science, do you have all that?
Yes, we do. We benefited from grants. We have what's called Ignitia for the older students. We could offer up to 200 courses, and many of those are technical courses as well. We have a young man who's coming in who's interested in business, so we're able to give him business math, business courses, administration as electives, which is the beauty of a platform like that. We don't put them in front of computers all day, but it's a benefit to have for the students to vary our curriculum. Our seventh graders, for instance, may take math and English on Ignitia, and then they'll have history, art, they'll have STEAM, they'll have all the other programs, science, separate from the computer. But we believe that children need to be prepared to have those sort of skills. We benefit from having the Microsoft free 365 program for every student. They get a student email, the older ones, and we're able to teach them the same platform that they would have should they choose to go to college. That's a great benefit for our students. In terms of the accreditation, that's a good prayer item for us as we move through and finish that. We want to do things excellently. That's where I come in, and I believe that's a strength for me, a joy for me to do that. Not everyone likes to push paper, but I get a good balance here. It's not all desks, which is nice for me. I get to teach the children as well.
Are you associated with any specific Christian denomination?
We can trace our origin back to a prayer meeting between the elders at Grace Baptist Church in Chambersburg. It would have been Dr. Shannon and the late Pastor Craig Harris and myself. I brought the idea to them. Having founded the school at the children's home and the opportunity at the campus had presented itself, a timely opportunity. We recognized that the needs in this area with the homelessness rate for young people, I don't know if you're aware, but at the time we founded the school, there were over 100 homeless children in Chambersburg. And if you traced it out to several counties in central Pennsylvania, we had over 900 homeless children. So it was an acute problem. We saw the need, we saw the campus, and we had forged a relationship with the campus. So the church helped found and support, but we recognized it would be a burden to ask one church to meet such a strong need in our area. We have relationships with several churches, several institutions in the area. We forge relationships on purpose because these kids need support. When we bring them in, we seek to set a network for each one of them. Family first, and then build out from there. That's important to us. We don't want to become the crutch for them to not grow as a family, as a community. That's really the work that we do, try to bring people together to support our young people.
Do the students come exclusively from Chambersburg, or do you have some other parts of the county?
We bring them in from Waynesboro, Greencastle. We've had students from Greencastle here. We've had students from Shippensburg. We can bring them from Fairfield. I think we're very close to the Tuscarora line. We might be able to bring them from there. In Pennsylvania, you may know that there is a benefit to the parents that the district will provide transportation. The state will reimburse that, and many of our families take advantage of that benefit.
So the transportation to your site is not a burden for the families?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. So you mentioned Grace Baptist Church. What type of Baptist church is that?
It's a Reformed Baptist church. Our doctrinal statement is the 1689 Confession, hammered out in London, adopted in Philadelphia early in colonial period. We actually had a series of 1689 Baptist churches over in Fulton County. Tenalaway, Sidling Hill, some over there where the campground is in Fulton County, the campground by Cove Valley Christian Camp. So the Reformed Baptist presence was here very early, and that's the doctrinal statement of school as well. So it was founded by the church. We adopted that doctrinal statement, but the children that we bring in aren't required to come from a Reformed Baptist church. We have them come from all stripes of congregation denominations. That's not a requirement for our students to belong to such.
Before we went on the air, we were speaking about some of the people that we both know. And you've mentioned Dr. Shannon, and I know him, and Ron Jones, who's a very good friend of the school's. And wasn't Ron Jones's daughter involved somehow at the school?
Yes, Mrs. Barbara Clark. She's our professional librarian.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So, yes, she was involved in Biblical Education Center with Ron, and also the library here in Greencastle. She was the librarian at CVCS before she came to us. We are very privileged to have her. She's built a wonderful library media center. We are at the size right now of a small seminary, 5,000 volumes plus. We want the greater community to benefit from that as well, so she's working on that angle for the school. So yes, Mr. Jones, he's had a major effect on our school. We have an endowment fund that is named the Irene Jones Memorial Fund. As a small school, to have an endowment fund is a tremendous blessing.
That's his late wife, of course.
That's right. He's been very generous to us as a school.
And your board member is Dr. Michael Fitzpatrick, who is a physician here in Greencastle.
Absolutely.
And these are all members of Grace Baptist as well.
They are.
All right. Very good. Now, how are you funded? You have mentioned grants and endowments from Ron Jones. So where in general does your funding come from?
We benefit from restricted funds for capital campaign. We benefit from non-restricted funds. We have many donors, monthly donors to our school that are taking in the slack for the needs. We benefit from EITC, Educational Improvement Tax Credit Program, which is a way that people can give and get a tax credit back. In other words, if you give for 2 years at a particular level, you can get 90% back on your state taxes. You'll get a refund back on that amount. Businesses can do that as well. So we benefit from those relationships. F&M Trust, Cumberland Valley Tree Service, many of those dear people help our students and love to do it. And gifts in kind, as I said, most of our equipment at our school is donated. It's amazing, the generosity. Intentionally, we don't have sales. So we don't have ham sandwich sales. We don't have candy sales. We don't send our kids door to door. We don't make our teachers administer such dreadful things. That's my view on those, because I've been forced to do those as a teacher before. But there's also a theological reason we do that. We want God's people to give to God's work without a transaction. We want them to be generous. We give them the opportunity. We think that's a wonderful opportunity for people to be blessed, to give. The Bible everywhere talks about caring for the orphan, caring for the widow, caring for the poor. And that's a responsibility the church has taken serious since the beginning. That's our heart. That's God's heart for young people, for the vulnerable.
Do the students pay any tuition at all?
Some may not. Our students benefit from generous tuition assistance. It's made possible by Friends of Providence. When we bring a student in, we seek to find tuition assistance for a family. We do have a program that screens. We believe that there's more buy-in when parents pay what they can. That's a benefit that parents can pass on to other students there. Some have been blessed more than others. Our tuition is already set at the lowest in the area for Christian day schools on purpose. We didn't want to inflate the figure. We're working with the poor, the fatherless, the vulnerable. These are families without much means. We have enrolled students in the past without tuition. Maybe a year when they've had a crisis, and then we put a support system around them, and they are happy to pay after that. But we always work to communicate to parents that they are honest about financial issues up front. And so we screen through a program called TADS. It's an online screening program, a third party that does screen assets. The parents apply, and everyone who applies to that gets something. They at least get their application back. That's the way we can be stewards of our funds. We can make sure that we are putting the tuition assistance dollars where they're needed the most. We have a National Christian Foundation fund called the Providence Orphan and Vulnerable Children Fund that's brought in thousands of dollars from various places, Atlanta, Lancaster. We do have a broad mission, and I think that's why people are willing to give to us. They see that we're not so much a tuition-based school. But we are stewards of our funds, and we ask parents to give where they can, to pay tuition where they can. And that makes the ministry accessible. That's why we don't grow as quickly as you might find other schools exploding, because we have to give. We have to have the funds. We have to find the funds to help these families before we make a commitment. So we're a triage. We do bring them in. We understandably have to be careful, evaluate all admission decisions, not enroll at a pace that outstrips our ability to be generous. That's really our philosophy. Stewards of God's gifts to our school and to our families.
Have there been students where it just simply didn't work out?
Behaviorally, sure. We've brought some students in and found out very quickly they're not a fit. When you have a multi-grade classroom or you have a situation that's intimate like that, one fella that doesn't want to work or someone who hates school, well, that's really not our model. Our model is for young people who want to learn, but they're in a situation where they've had some vulnerability. We're not afraid to bring in students who can't read in 10th grade. They just have to have the desire. And that way, they buy into our mission. If they don't, then it's not a fit.
In the decade Providence has been in existence, what do you feel you've accomplished?
We believe the Providence 360 program is a wonderful accomplishment. Professional development, pushing our faculty to become lifetime certified or state certified, along with the ACSI accreditation, is an accomplishment. I think founding the school on that campus is a wonderful accomplishment. And moving a whole school in the middle of a year is certainly an accomplishment. The pre-accreditation program, finishing that so quickly because we had such qualified teachers, such willing teachers, the library that we're putting together. I think where we find the most gratitude is when you take a student who comes in who has no hope. I'm not talking about not wanting to learn, but they don't believe they can learn. We had students who came in, we were giving them books, and they said, "What are these? We're not bright. What are you doing?" And we have to tell them, you're not going to talk about yourself like that here anymore. You could tell that they had bought into something someone else told them about their inability to learn. Those are the lifetime accomplishments. And our kids keep coming back to us, telling us how they're doing. School just wasn't something they were happy to move away from. Everyone wants to graduate. No one wants to be in school forever. But to stay connected with our kids is a lifetime accomplishment for us.
Do you have any events to which the public is invited?
We have a Christmas open house that's usually early in December where we invite the public. We also do portraits of Providence tours. So they're 1-hour tours, very quick. We promise we'll not keep you. We'll not drag it out. We won't ask you for money. During that tour, we just want you to see what's happening at the school and have your questions answered and tell people why we're so passionate about why we do it. Early on in my childhood, the earliest memories I have of my family were broken. God redeemed me and this life, and it's a thrill for me to see that happen for other people, to see people who are in a situation that's topsy-turvy gain a foundation in the Lord. That's really where our mission shines.
How can the public help you?
Funds that are non-restricted or restricted. We have a capital campaign going on right now called Celebrating His Providence. It paid for almost all the renovations right now. We had a goal of $200,000. We're at $183,000. We would love to pay off the small mortgage we have on the facility before our 10th year of operation. Right now, that mortgage is only over $250,000. And the building is worth at least $800,000. So we're doing quite well financially, but we want those funds to go to our kids. That's just our heart. We're already paying less than what we had to pay on Scotland campus for occupancy. So that's a great blessing. But that's a goal we have.
That's all the time we have. I'm Lois Steich, and you've been listening to Around Your Community on WRGG Radio in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. Thanks to my guest, Jeffrey Garner, the president of Providence Christian Academy. This organization is doing good work in our community. And another organization doing good work is WRGG Radio. Our all-volunteer staff is here to help the people of Greencastle, Antrim Township, and all of Franklin County. Please help us out with your monetary donations. I'll be back next week. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Around Your Community. WRGG is dedicated to bringing you information on the nonprofits that serve Greencastle, Antrim, and Southern Franklin County. WRGG, we are GA.